Certainly appreciate you being here. It is such a wonderful thing to be able to be out and to assemble with folks who want to worship the God of heaven, and we pray that we do it in an acceptable manner. But a prayer is not enough. We need to make sure, according to God's Word, we do it in an acceptable manner, so we need to always make sure we're doing everything as we should. We can never become complacent and just say, well, that's the way it is. We need to constantly search out God's Word. Jesus taught the Jews many lessons while He was on the earth. He constantly urged them to change their attitude about life. Many would consider Him to be almost negative in His preaching because it seemed like that He was all constantly chiding them for things that they were doing. But He wasn't chiding. He loved them very much, and He was just trying to get them to turn, and He was working hard for them to be ready for the kingdom of heaven that was coming. And He needed them to understand that because eventually their system of religion would be destroyed. And He needed them to make some changes in their life. And He told them a lot of parables, and a lot of them related to that, about the coming kingdom and about what was going to happen. And so He wanted them to make some changes in their life. He needed them to repent. They all needed to understand how bad sin was, and certainly they struggle with this just like we still do today. So we're going to use a parable and about life in the kingdom that we're a part of. And in this lesson, we're going to look at the idea of what is my talent or talents. There is a need to be productive in our lives, and so we're going to use this parable. So if you would, turn to Matthew 25. There's a parable taught in which I'm just going to kind of relay it real quickly, in that He went and He taught this because He said there was it's like the kingdom of heaven. It's like a man traveling. He certainly had lots of things, and He wanted to pass on some of those things to some stewards or servants of His. So one of them He gave 5 talents, one of them He gave 2 talents, and the other one He gave 1 talent. And it says that He immediately went on His journey. He gave these according to their ability. And so we find that after He had left, the man who had the 5 gained 5 more, the man who had was given 2 gained 2 more, and the one that was given 1, he buried his. He just was so concerned about life that he just put it away. And so when he came back to get an accounting of this, then he talked to each one about what they had done. And then he gave a reward based on what they had done with their individual amounts of money. And we find the seriousness of this in the fact that he's letting them know that if they didn't use it properly, there was consequences to it. So as we look at this, we could say, what is my talent? Obviously, this was a large sum of money. Don't know for sure what it was, but we're going to look at it. So what we find in this is that this man is very wealthy. He has it all. It's all his, and he starts to go on this journey, so he wants to make sure that these 3 servants are given some of the things to use while he's away. He wants to see how well they'll use them. Now, I put this down, so I'll tell you what, you can study it 500 times, you're never going to find the exact amount, but 1 talent is believed to be about 600 denarii, or that amount of money. A denarii was a day's wages for a laborer, so what you have is 1 talent would then equal about 16 to 20 years of wages, and the reason for that large amount depends on how much you worked. So if a person worked 7 days a week, obviously it's not going to last. They would receive more money, and so it would be less years' wages. But when we look at this, that would be a large sum of money. We don't know exactly the amount, and there's been arguments through the years, and I've seen anything from, you know, millions of dollars to not so much, and it really doesn't matter. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the value of it. It's valuable. It is given something that belongs to someone else, and so it was valuable, and they needed to understand that. But the distribution is different for each man. We find in this particular one that it was given to them according as he looked at it to their ability. He made a wise judgment on this because he certainly understood that one would receive 5 talents. And again, this is a weight and it's amount gathered up over this. And so as we look at this, one received 2 talents, one received 1 talent. So he understood that. So what we find is that each uses their money, their talents, differently. They all do. Now, we might look at it and we might say, well, but the one given 5 talents, he doubled his to 10. And so the man that had two did it equally as well. Of course he did. That doesn't really matter. That's not the lesson here. Each will double their amount. But it was based on their ability to do so. But the one given the one, he decides no. He decides he's going to bury or hide his money. He doesn't even want to use it. He decides the best thing to do with it is hang on to it for fear of losing it, and so that way he can give it back when the master comes back. That's all he's concerned about. Not the whole time this man's gone, he doesn't do it. And it says that the man was gone a long time. So a long time he's gone, but it's still in the lifetime of these men that he comes back. When we look at this, then we find that though there's a day of reckoning, there always is. I don't care if you're responsible for something. I'm telling you, there was times I dreaded facing my parents. There was times I dreaded facing my teachers at school. There was always that day of reckoning when I had to answer for something that I didn't want to answer for. Well, two of the men are very happy to answer for what they've done. When we find that the one is willing to do this, we find that when the owner returns, he's going to settle accounts. That's pretty amazing. You see, he's still the owner of the talents. It was never them. They didn't have, this wasn't their money. They were using someone else's, and they were making use of it while he was gone. Never, ever, ever belonged to them. Never. So, he has the responsibility of rewarding them for how they used what he gave them. The five-talent man, what's his reward? Well, the Bible says, and I find this interesting the way Jesus says this. He had been faithful over a few things. But he had a great sum of money. Wouldn't that be a great thing? No. No. In the sight of the owner, this was just few. The owner could have given a lot more. The owner obviously had it all. And he says he'll make him ruler over many things. And that's an important thing to look at. This term, he's going to put him over a lot of things. And then he is to enter into the joy of his Lord. That's beautiful. I am accepting you basically as part of what I have. I am making you a part of it all. Well, he told the two-talent man the exact same thing. But then he finally comes to the one-talent man. And the one-talent man, he's going to make two basic statements. That's why I didn't read this up front. I want us to look at the two statements he makes, and then when we get into this, I want us to really think about how we react to things. He first makes a statement about his Lord, the Master, the owner. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man." Now remember, this man has given him a great sum of money to deal with, given it to him, made him responsible for it. Would you be responding that way? "Reaping where you had not sown." Would you say that to someone that gave you a large sum of money? "And gathering where you had not scattered seed." You know what he's saying to him? "Well, you don't even work for this. You just gain things on the basis of..." Isn't that the way people look at people that have things? It really is, isn't it? I know you're thinking Cody should have taught this lesson. But anyway, when we think about this for a moment... Just kidding about what I said a few weeks ago. But when you think about this for a moment, it is a beautiful thought, isn't it? Isn't that our response? "Not my fault. Don't look at me. I'm giving you back. I mean, at least I'm giving you back what you gave me." Then he makes a statement about himself, about his own attitude about this. He says, "I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, you have what is yours." What's he saying here? "Oh, I'm willing to say it's yours. I mean, you know, here, take it back. Don't make me responsible for this. I don't want to have anything to do with it. This is not me. This is you. putting it all back on the one who gave it to him. Now, he's properly judged in this. He gets a true evaluation of himself that he didn't realize. I said this in the class today, that so many times people came to Jesus expecting one answer and got another one. A one that was good for them. One that would change their life if they would accept it. But it was hard. It's hard to accept this. The Lord answered and said, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed." Didn't you understand what was going on here? I am over it all. You're to be working. You're the one that's not to be lazy. You're the one because I gave it to you. Just minimum expectation. He said, "I didn't expect a lot out of you." He said, "You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I will receive back my own with interest." You didn't even do the minimum. You didn't even use it at all. You made absolutely no use in what I gave you. You wicked and lazy person. Pretty strong language. But he goes on to say, "Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Why? Because he knew who would work for it. He knew who would use it. He knew the abilities and he knew what was happening with this. For to everyone who has, more will be given. He who will have, and he will have abundance, but not from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Well, it's scary, isn't it? If you don't use it, he says, it won't just not be used. I'll take it away from you. "And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You think about this for a moment. This is some strong language. This is it. His punishment? Total separation. You're not coming back to me. You're not working for me anymore. I'm casting you away from me forever. You'll never be a part of my household anymore. What do we find from this? We find in Daniel 5, I find this just an amazing passage of Scripture. Daniel certainly was talking to Nebuchadnezzar. And he was letting Nebuchadnezzar know that not one thing, as rich as Nebuchadnezzar was his. Not one thing was his. His kingdom wasn't his. His money wasn't his. His power wasn't his. Every bit of that had been given to him by the Lord of heaven. He had not one thing of his own. And he says in verse 23, "You have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the..." Excuse me, I've got this one wrong. This is where... This is about... Yes, yeah, I'm sorry, it is right. "You have lifted up yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of His house before you, and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drank wine from them. You have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which did not see or hear or know." The things that God blessed you with that you brought out of Israel, you have made to serve your gods. You are a nobody in the sight of God of heaven. And the God who holds your breath in His hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Nebuchadnezzar was the one talent man. All that God had given him, he never glorified God with it. He's going to. He's going to. And this is about Belshazzar, his grandson. What he has is of great value. The Lord determines how much is given to each. We don't determine that. We have never determined. We think we do, but we don't. God determines it. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. "2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. When we look at this and we think about it, it is all on the basis of what we have been given from God is how we use it. He'll never judge us on the basis of what He's given someone else. He'll only use it on the basis of what He's given us. Few or many, He knows what's best. Doesn't really matter how many abilities He may give us. The Lord is the one that provides the opportunity. It is the Lord, we find, that gives the increase. It is the Lord that does it all. If we turn to 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Paul knew, and this is not the only time he says it, he says it in Ephesians 6 and many other places, that it was the Lord that opened up the doors of opportunity. He had prayed about them, he had had others pray about them, but it was the Lord that gave all the opportunities to use what He had given Paul to do. In 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Goes back to what we've just been talking about. It is God that owns it all. It is through God that we have all of these things, and it is through God we will use these things because it will always be God. The opportunity He provides is of great importance. Every person is given opportunity in this room to do God's will. It is of great importance that we take advantage of every one of them. The Lord then determines the day of reckoning. My day of reckoning could be very well different from your day of reckoning. If I die before you do or you die before me, that could be our day of reckoning. And what we find then is that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Just like they had to answer to this man when he came back. As far as this parable is concerned in our life, we would use it like this. One day I will give an answer for how I've done things. Each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. There's going to be a day of reckoning. Because the time he gives is limited. He makes that point to them. It was in a space of time that the Lord chose that they had this opportunity to do something with these talents that he had given them. And we understand, of course, that's money, but he's making a greater point. But we find that we're just stewards. The steward is responsible for making use of what he's given, we found in 20 through 26. The steward is responsible for it, not someone else. The responsibility given is immense. This was a great sum of money. They had to make sure that they used it properly. The steward has to work hard to achieve success. This is something where they must make sure, we found in this parable, make sure that they worked hard to achieve this. Now I want you to think about something for a moment in this parable. We read this parable very quickly. I have no idea how long the Lord was gone. I have no idea how long this master was gone from his house, but when he comes back, he's expecting something. Have you ever thought about trying to double your money in a certain amount of time? Have you ever thought about how hard it would be to double your money yourself, for yourself? Have you ever thought about having, let's say, in 10 years, double the amount of money that you have now? In my case, it wouldn't be very difficult. But in some people's cases, it might be very hard to double the money. This would be very difficult. To double 5 talents? I don't know what the space of time was, but ever how we look at that, ever what sum of money that was, if indeed a talent is worth 20 years' wages, think about that. That's 100 years of wages, if that's true. That's a lot of money. Think about trying to double that into 200 years' wages. That takes a lot of work. You have to understand and know business to do that. You have to work hard at it. And especially knowing it belongs to someone else. Most of us might be more careless with someone else's money if we weren't careful about it, wouldn't we? But think about this. This is hard work. We know that every day he got up and worked hard for this man. And it was going to this man, not to him. Think about that for a moment. It was to glorify the Lord, not him. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? To double 2 talents. Think about that for a moment. Difficult. Not easy. Takes a lot to get this kind of success. It is a matter of understanding the importance of what someone else has given you. If someone else puts responsibility in your hands, are you more careful with what they put you responsible for or for what you put yourself responsible for? You see, the work never ends. The truth of the matter is, the work never ends. Blessed are the dead that die from now on. They shall rest from their labors. There will be no rest as long as we're in this life. The work never ended. That five-talent man, it doesn't say he worked for, let's say, that. I'm just going to throw something out. Let's say the man was gone 10 years. It didn't say, well, he worked 7.5 years and he gave it up the last 2.5 because he'd done really well. No. He worked till he came back. He knew. He knew he was going to have to give an account for it. He was ready for that. Because the steward will always give an account. If it belongs to someone else, you have to give an account. And I'll tell you one of the worst things in life. If you don't believe this, go back and ask Gina what happens when the money doesn't show up the way it's supposed to at the bank in proper deposits. Ask her who's responsible for that. Ask her if that's comfortable knowing that if she doesn't get that job done correctly, what happens to it? It belongs to someone else. It doesn't belong to her. You see, sooner or later you do give an account. And Cody will tell you that when you put the pages together and you're doing these taxes for someone, they have to give an account for every dollar. They're responsible for that. Part of this job is making sure these match up. Because it belongs to someone else, and there's a certain amount of that belongs to the government, the way we have it set up. So you have to make sure they get their proper amount based on all these rules and regulations. All this, you give an account. You have to understand all of that. You have to understand what rules you have to follow to get this done. And the account has to be true. It has to be according to the rules applied. It can't be according to someone else's rules. You can't give an account based on, well, I think so. That's what the one talent man did. He gave it based on his own thought process. He thought this out. He wasn't following the rules that the master had laid down. In 14:12, it clearly says, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God." It'll come. You're going to have to give an account. And this is something we have nothing to do with. The Lord will then determine proper judgment and reward. We find in this that He determined it. He didn't ask, "What do you think I should do about this?" He didn't say, "Well, what's your evaluation of this?" He said, "This is your reward. I will determine what your reward is." And He gave high praise and high honor and high responsibility to two of the men. God's rules, His judgment, His rewards are always fair and based on the rules He gave. He doesn't change the rules for us. In Revelation 20, verse 12, the books will be opened. Each group will be judged according to the law they were under, based on the blood of Jesus Christ. People in the Old Testament, a Noah will not have to give an account for having followed the rules of the New Testament. That's fair. That's based on what we have. Judgment is always fair when it comes with God. It'll never be unfair. It'll always be based on what He's told us. He won't change the rules. In Matthew 13:12, "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." That's scary, isn't it? He said, that's fair. That's fair with God. He says, if you don't use what I've given you and you don't use it properly, you might just not get it at all. And in the end, it will be taken away if we haven't used it properly. There's going to be many lessons in this parable available to us, and I've heard many lessons on it. But one is we must be faithful in making use of all of our opportunities in serving God and man. Every one of them. We have to make sure that we do what God wants us to do. We find that hard work is rewarded and laziness is punished. Have you entered the kingdom through obedience to the Master today? If you think about it, He's given you an opportunity. What He's given to each one of us is life itself with the hope of eternal life. And He says, make use of that life. What I need you to do is take advantage, if you will, of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you'll do that, you'll become obedient to His will. You'll understand and know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're willing to confess that. You're willing to change your life based on that, starting with a change of heart. Then you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, and your sins will be completely forgiven. From that point forward, you have the opportunity to talk to God anytime about your sins. Or you may want others to help you with that situation. You might want them to pray for you. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?